It is great to see you guys. I am excited. I'm going to be hopefully wrapping up a talk that I started a couple weeks ago. How many of you were blessed by Marnie's word last week? Yeah, that was awesome. That was good stuff. Yeah, clap for her, please. Yeah, that was a good word. I love lessons on dying to self, which is never an easy process by any means. And so it was a great word by Marnie. And if you haven't had a chance to tune in and hear that word yet, make sure you get to our website. It is cocfamily.com. And it is a good message by Marnie. I'm going to start with a passage today in Numbers. And so I'd love for you to turn to Numbers chapter 13. A couple years ago, a friend of mine and I, we were talking, and he was trying to convince me that the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament. And I disagree with that thought, and because the Bible tells us that God isn't like a man, so he is unchanging. And so he's not going to suddenly, after the minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament, suddenly he's going to change his mind and become somebody that he wasn't before, kind of thing. And so anyway, I was thinking about that conversation, and what I guess I started to do is I started to ask God, because whenever somebody says something to me that I feel like is challenging, I try to check inwardly. Okay, I try to follow the path of David, which is search me, O God. Search me, check me, kind of thing. And so I just started to pray for God to just kind of give me a redeemed perspective of the Old Testament. And what I found is through that prayer, God has really opened up a lot of passages from Scripture in the Old Testament to me, and it's really kind of given me a new perspective of how those Old Testament passages relate to life today, kind of thing. And so we're going to start in Numbers, and if I could give this section a new title in chapter 13, it would be Stuck in the Middle. Stuck in the Middle, because I have a belief that a lot of Christians, we find ourselves stuck somewhere between deliverance and destiny. I'm going to say that again. We find ourselves stuck somewhere between deliverance and destiny. Almost kind of like Stan was preaching on Wednesday, or sharing on Wednesday in our Bible study about thriving versus surviving, and how as Christians we're called to thrive. We're called to live a thriving life, a life that's full of blessing. And it was a great word. But a lot of times as Christians, we don't experience that. We get stuck almost in kind of like survival mode. And so instead of thriving, we're just barely getting by, kind of thing. And so we get stuck. We get stuck somewhere between deliverance and destiny, where I'm saved, but now what do I do with the rest of my life, kind of thing. And a lot of us, unfortunately, are content with just being saved. But please realize that your salvation is not the culmination of your walk with God. Salvation was not the pinnacle. It was not the end point. It wasn't the thing that you worked your whole life for. Like salvation, in my opinion, in the Christian walk, in a thriving Christian walk, is a starting point. It's a starting point. It's not an ending point. And so I want to start with this passage in Numbers, because I want you to see something, because Israelites have been delivered from the hands of the Egyptians, okay, if you know your Bible history. So the Israelites had been enslaved ever since Joseph and his generation died off, and so they've been in slavery by the Egyptian rulers, and God uses Moses to deliver them from the hands of the Egyptians, and now they are in route, right? They're en route to the promised land, this land that's been promised to them, flowing with milk and honey. And so now they've left this stronghold of slavery, and now they're en route to their destiny. but they're stuck in the middle here. And so I want to pick up in verse 26 here, and I'm reading in Numbers 13. It says, they came back to Moses. Now, this is the they that they're referring to is Moses had sent out, by the word of the Lord, he had sent out some spies to go and inspect the land that God had promised to them. So they've left Sinai, they've got the Ten Commandments, they've had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they've had miracle after miracle after miracle happen, they've had the quail and all that stuff, all these miracles have guided them through. They got chased by the Egyptians, the parting of the Red Sea, then the Red Sea flooding the Egyptians. So they've had all these experiences and all these miracles, and here they are on the doorstep of the promised land. On the doorstep of their destiny. And so Moses sends these guys in and he says, go and inspect the land, bring back the report that you have. And that's where we're picking up here. Now, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They brought stuff back with them. When they went into the land, they took some stuff and they brought it with them. And they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. The promise was true. It is a good place. And sometimes I wish people would just stop talking, because they should have stopped talking here. These spies should have stopped talking here. Because sometimes we sabotage ourselves with the words that we say about ourselves. And that's exactly what these guys do. They've been delivered. They're on the doorstep of their destiny. And now they're through their mouth, through their words, they're going to trump what God has planned for them. They're gonna talk themselves out of their destiny. And that's something that I want us to be aware of today, is don't talk yourself out of your destiny here. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit, right? Big but. The people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. These are all people, by the way, that God's delivered the Israelites from before. Don't know if you know that or not. Okay? And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Right? Here they are. The promise is true. It does flow with milk and honey. God is good, but I don't think he can do it for us. Right? But I don't think we're good enough. But I don't think we're strong enough. But I don't really think we should go into our destiny. Here they are, stuck in the middle between deliverance and destiny. I love Caleb, by the way. Because in verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, what are you talking about? We should go up and take possession of the land. For we can certainly do it. We should do what we've been called to do. God told us all we had to do was be obedient. All we had to do was follow him. All we had to do was trust him. And he was going to remove all these people in front of us. He was going to take all these tribes out of the land. And he was just going to give it to us. All we had to do was obey. And they've experienced this already. Did they have to fight the Egyptians in the Red Sea? God did it for them, right? Did they have to defeat Pharaoh and change Pharaoh's mind to leave Egypt? No. God did it for them. And so here they are in the middle between deliverance and destiny, having experienced the promises and the goodness of God, but still second-guessing him. Still second-guessing his goodness, still second-guessing his faithfulness, still not fully comprehending God's true nature. And because they don't fully comprehend God's true nature, they don't know who they are. They can't see themselves for how God sees them, because they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't see things the way that they're supposed to see, because they don't understand fully who God is. And so Caleb, he's like, wait a second, what are you talking about? Yeah, we should go in there. Didn't God promise us this? But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. Who do you think you are, Caleb? They're stronger than we are. Pretty sure the Egyptians were stronger than them. Just saying. Pretty sure the Red Sea was stronger than them. But they don't have to deal with any of that. I'm pretty sure the plague of the death of the firstborn son in an entire country was stronger than them. But they didn't have to do anything except be obedient to this point. And so why is obedience now an option when they're standing on the doorstep of destiny? And they spread among the Israelites, oofta, these bad dudes, they spread a bad report about the land that they had explored. It is filled with milk and honey, but it is good, but, you know, God did give me a raise, but, you know, we kind of talk ourselves out of destiny from time to time, okay? You know, God, my shoulder is feeling better, but, okay? Like, we talk ourselves out of destiny all the time, and we like to read this story and think, those silly Israelites, what were they thinking? Wandering in the desert for 40 years. How many of you have been wandering on the doorstep of your destiny for 50 plus years, right? How many Christians spend their whole lives getting saved at age 7, only to die at 97, not having gone past that salvation point? Like they are on the doorstep of their destiny. And this isn't just a story that's meant to be a story that I tell my kids at bedtime. Like, this is a story meant to teach me something about my life today. Okay, and they spread this bad report. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in whose eyes? Our own eyes. We looked like grasshoppers not to them. We looked like grasshoppers to us. How you see yourself is important. How you see yourself is important. And if you don't see yourself the right way, there's a good chance that you don't see God the right way. Because if you don't see God the right way, it's very difficult for you to see you the right way. And that's what these Israelites are doing right here. They're starting to second guess God. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them, right? We had to have looked like that. We had to have. I can't believe I preached that way on Sunday. I'm sure everybody just doesn't want to listen to me anymore. I can't believe I messed up that song today. I bet nobody's even able to worship because I just messed that song up today. You know, why we talk ourselves out of destiny all the time. So that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt. Isn't that silly? If only we had just died in Egypt. Oh my. Yeah. Or in the desert. That would have been good. We could have just died in the desert by Sinai. That would have been awesome. That would have been so much better than this. But here we are. Why is the Lord bringing us into our destiny? Look at them complain. Why is he bringing us into this promised land only to let us fall by the sword? Because he has supported you all this time, and so now that you're in your destiny, he's just going to go, see ya, right? Like, good luck. Have fun. Okay? Like, that's not God. That's not God. He's not going to lead you into your destiny only to just say, all right, see you later. Right? And wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt, back to slavery, back to what we know, back to what we used to believe, back to our old nature? And they said this to each other, we should choose a leader, right? This Moses guy, I know he's got us this far, and I know he talks to God face to face, but we should choose a different leader. Because clearly Moses is in cahoots with God, and so therefore he's also in for our destruction. He's part of this plan of destroying us. No. And Moses and Aaron, they don't know what to do, so they fall face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. But Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had explored the land, they're indignant. They tear their clothes and they said to the entire assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good." Period. End of sentence. The destiny that God has for us, the promised land that he's entrusted to us, the promise he's guaranteed us is good. End of story. Enough complaining. Let's move on. If the Lord is pleased with us, if we do what he's asked us to do, if we be obedient, because that's all he's required us to do, is just be obedient. All we have to do is be obedient. He's going to lead us into that land, which does flow with milk and honey, and he's going to give it to us. But do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. Why? Because God is with us. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. And do not waste time being afraid of them. See, we spend our times stuck in the middle, somewhere between destiny and deliverance. And so the Israelites have this misplaced focus that causes them to lose sight of God's truth. They forget they're God's chosen people. They have been this whole time, ever since Abraham. They've had this promise, okay? They forgot that they had God's presence right in their camp. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Like his tangible presence was right there, right on the outskirts of their camp. They forgot that God had promised them victory and had delivered victory time and time again. And they forgot their only requirement at this point in their relationship is to obey. That's all they had to do was obey. And I like this. Trisha kind of talked to me about this, but it was like, what were they afraid of? Right? Because I guarantee they were afraid of the Egyptians. I guarantee that they were afraid of Pharaoh. Right? They were afraid of Pharaoh. Otherwise, they would have had no reason to be delivered in the first place. They wouldn't have been making those complaints to God, right? God in Exodus, he says, "I've heard your people's complaints." Okay? "I've heard them. I've heard their cry that they've raised before me," is how he says it in Exodus. But here's God hearing them and responding to them. So they've been afraid, but now what's causing them to be afraid here? And I think they're afraid of faith, to be honest with you. I don't know if you know that you can be afraid of faith. You can be afraid of faith because faith is this big unknown. Like, I don't know what's coming up next. I don't know what the future holds. And so here they are. They're afraid of faith. And Trisha said it like this. You know, if she was an Israelite, she said, "Well, at least we didn't have to live by faith in Egypt, right? We were just 9 to 5, whipped in the back, making mud bricks, right? Right? At least we didn't have to live by faith back then. But here out in the desert, we're feeling a little bit exposed. We're stuck in the middle. We've been delivered, but we're heading towards destiny. But I'm feeling kind of vulnerable right now." And so they're afraid of that. And they long for, this is what gets me, they long for familiarity in spite of its inferiority. They wanted what was familiar even though it was inferior. They're clinging to old thoughts, old beliefs, old identity, in spite of this newness that God has for them. And see, when we embrace our identity, we experience destiny. That's what I want to land on today. When we embrace our identity, we're going to experience our destiny. Many Christians spend their lives somewhere stuck in the middle. "I got saved." Well, how's your life? It's a battle. It's a struggle. Every day, it's a struggle. Well, something might be wrong then, if every day is a struggle, because you're called to live a thriving life. You're called to live a life that gets people kind of talking, like how in the world is that person always so happy? How is that person always so full of joy? How is that person so generous? I bet I make more money than him. How is he so generous? Why is their marriage so good? Why are their kids so great? That's the kind of life we're supposed to live. It's the life that's asking questions. Okay? It's the life that's asking questions, and here we are, we're barely hanging on, we're barely surviving, and it could be that we're stuck in the middle here. We're on the doorstep of our destiny, and we're wandering, and we got to stop wandering. Our lives feel like some sort of rerun of a sitcom we didn't even audition for, right? Like here we are. How did my life turn into All in the Family, and I just, what in the world happened? Okay, I auditioned for Leave It to Beaver. Okay, I don't like this. Like, what is going on with my life? And we are called to live a thriving life as Christians. And so I want to challenge you with that, to live a thriving life. We got to get unstuck. We got to get out of the middle. We've been delivered. But now it's time for me to start walking in my destiny. Now it's time for you to start walking in your destiny. Now it's time for me and you to be who we've been called to be. And I warned you last time I spoke that we are on the threshold of the Holy Spirit here, folks. We are on the doorstep. Like, if I was going to say what the missing piece in all of this right now, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what's going to empower you and empower me to step in and walk in and live out this true identity. But there's little action steps that you and I can kind of acquire in, or utilize, I should say, in this process. And step number one is, if you want to live in your true identity, you got to get in relationship with God. You got to be in relationship with God. Last time I spoke, we talked about the parable of the two lost sons and how the one son looked like a slave, smelled like a slave, feeding pigs, which was really, really low. I don't know if you know that in Jewish culture, pigs are kind of like a no-no. And so when Jesus was telling that story about the lost son who went to another country to work with pigs, like to serve pigs, like that was the lowest of the low. He is a slave to pigs. Like, you can't get much lower than that in Jewish culture, okay? And so we've got one son who is lost. And then we've got this other son who's in the presence of the Father day after day after day after day, but still is living like a slave. He looks like a son, but he's operating like a slave. And that's where step number one comes. We've got to get in relationship with God. See, through Jesus, we've been given access. We've been given access to this identity, but we've been given access to all things in heaven. And Kirk has talked that or talked about that in many of his sermons that he's done before this. And we just don't often utilize that, though. Or we don't experience all that heaven has to offer because of a lack of relationship. Okay? That relationship is such a key first step in helping you and helping me discover our identity. See, we have a true identity. An eternal identity. And the last time I spoke, I wanted to try to cultivate that need or that realization in you that we do have a need to walk in our true identity. See, our nature, or what seems natural for us, is to base our identity on temporary things. Okay? And if you want proof of that, I could walk you into the parking lot at Rossolt School, and I could tell you the names of the kids based on the vehicles in the parking lot. We base our identity on things a lot of times, on possessions, on houses, on vehicles. We base it on kids. We base it on careers. I told you a little bit in my previous talk about me stepping down as a football coach and how in 2009 I couldn't even fathom that. Like, how can I not be a football coach? Like, I've been a football coach 15 years. Like, Trisha and I have been married 14 years. I've been a football coach longer than I've been married to my wife. Okay? And so taking something like that away felt like I was losing this big piece of me. Like, what am I going to do if I don't coach football? Well, the great news is I have eternal identity, so I can still be me. I can still be me. And I can come here on Sundays and coach you guys. Or as Trisha calls it, we got Team Schultz growing in the household right now. And I'm excited for Team Schultz, okay? We got three little wily players that just can't wait. None of them are bench dwellers or bench warmers. They all want to be in on the action. You know, and so we need to detach our identity from our kids, from our homes, from our jobs, from our illnesses and ailments. That one always gets me when people identify themselves, like as you shake their hand, hi, my name is, and then before you can get your name in, they're telling you all the things that are wrong with them and medications that they're on and stuff like that. And it's this idea, and I know I've said this, and I know Kirk said this, and he's the one that inspired this, but behavior follows belief. And so we've got to get our beliefs changed in order for our behavior to change. Yeah, and so to get in right relationship through Christ, we've been given this access, okay? We've been given access to everything that's in heaven. We've been seated in heavenly places. We've been given power and authority, okay? But it comes through the leading of the Holy Spirit and this right relationship with the Father. Because when we're in relationship with the Father, we're aware of God's identity. And when we start to grasp God's true identity and true nature, then we start to get a hold of our identity and nature. A lot of how my life has changed in the last, 14, 15, 20 years has come from me getting a new revelation of who God was. Okay, I thought I knew God in high school, but when I got into college, I started to get new revelation of him. And as my revelation of God has changed, it's changed me. Like God's revealing more of himself. And how does that happen? It happens through relationship. And all we got to do is to follow the example that Jesus gave us. And I use that passage there from Romans 8:29. I know it's small on the screen and probably small on your piece of paper there. But it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that God or Jesus may be the firstborn among many brothers. Like Jesus is the example, that older brother that you aspire to be. He's the guy that we need to mimic and we need to follow. And I like this thought here. God became a man to show us how man could connect with God. Like the big thing that caught the disciples off guard was how much time Jesus spent in the presence of the Father, how much time he spent praying. Like, oh dear, we're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Better brace yourself for a long night, boys. Here we go. He's going to go talk to God again. But what was great is Jesus modeled that for 3 years while he was in ministry with them, so that when Jesus left, they could continue on that model kind of thing. And so that's what Jesus did for us. He became this firstborn. He's that big brother. And he showed us a way that God can connect with us and how we could connect with him. But it starts with this idea of relationship. Step two is we got to learn God's good truth about who we are. You've been made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, if anyone claims to be a Christian, if anybody thinks that they are saved, guess what? You're a new creation and the old is gone and the new has come, and you got to stop playing tug of war with your old nature and your new nature, and you got to stop playing tug of war with your old beliefs and new truths about God, and you got to stop playing tug of war with how things always were for you in your life and what they could be for you in your life if you would just let go and walk in obedience. You are his son or his daughter. Romans 8:14-17. I like this passage, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters of God. You bet. And for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again, like the Hebrews or the Israelites were in Numbers, stuck in the middle. You don't want to be slaves again. And it's not that you're trading slavery for slavery. See, that's what they were thinking. Like, they thought they were going to go into this new land, this destiny that God had planned for them. And they thought they were going to become enslaved. I think the word that they used in Numbers was swallowed up. Did God really deliver us so that we would be swallowed up only to have us fall by the sword and our wives and our children taken as plunder? Did God really deliver us from one bad situation out of the frying pan and into the fire? Right? Out of one bad experience into another bad experience? Like, if that's true, then I'm going to go back to Egypt, because at least I knew my slave owners in Egypt. I don't know my new slave owners in this destiny. And Paul's writing, no, you haven't been freed to become a slave again. You've been freed to be free. You've been set free to be free. So be free, right? You have not been, you've received a spirit of sonship. And by that spirit, Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, you are able to walk in what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. And by that Spirit, we're able to call out, Abba, Father. See, without the Holy Spirit, we can try to grasp God's nature and my nature. We can kind of get them in kind of alignment. But without the Holy Spirit, we're only going to be kind of aligned. We need Holy Spirit to bring us into full alignment. And the Spirit then is going to testify with our spirit that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit communicates with the Spirit. The Spirit in heaven speaks with the Spirit in me and says, you are God's children. God, this is your Son. Son, that is your Father. And there's this communication, this connection between those two things. And if we are children, then guess what? We are heirs. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and if we indeed share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory, we got to die to ourselves, like Marnie preached last Sunday. We got to die to ourselves. We got to let go. We got to stop carrying around two natures. We got to let go of one and embrace fully the other. Step three, stop being who you aren't. If you want to live out your true identity, your true nature, your eternal identity that you have in God, you got to stop being who you aren't. You got to stop operating in that old mindset. You got to stop keeping stuff around that reminds you of your old nature. Okay? Anybody ever try to quit smoking, but you kept that pack of cigarettes around just in case you couldn't really quit smoking? What's going to happen to that pack of cigarettes? Probably going to smoke them, right? I've never smoked before, so this is a weird story that I'm trying to tell here, okay? Don't keep around things that remind you of your old nature, though, okay? If you really want to be new, be new. Don't be old anymore. Be new, okay? Like, be new. Be new. Throw away the Laserdisc player. They're not coming back in style, okay? Okay? VHS tapes. Maddie came up to me the other day carrying a VHS tape. She's like, Dad, how do I play this? You don't in our house. We have a DVD player, okay? Like it's time for an upgrade. It's time to get rid of the old, walk in the new kind of thing, right? Kill off your false identity. Stop carrying around your old self and stop operating in your new self. I remember Graham Cook, I went to a conference of his one time in the cities, and he was talking about how it's a lot of times, like, imagine, like your old nature is killed. It died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he killed your sinful nature. He killed it. Dead. And so Graham Cook said, imagine if we started to like take that nature, and it's like we wrap it around ourselves and we try to carry this dead carcass around, like this old self, like this old nature. And he spoke that, and it was very vivid to me. I was like, yeah, why would I carry around my dead nature? Well, we do. Hi, my name is Stephen, and this is who I used to be. And sometimes I'm still him, because I'm carrying him around, and sometimes he gets the best of me. Like, why would we do that? Why would we do that? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And I love this passage from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart, set your mind, set your focus, set everything on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on these things above, not on these earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And I want to land on that little passage there for this hidden in Christ thing, because I don't think we often understand the key part here, okay? Like we said earlier, that the Israelites' only job to get to the promised land was they had to, do you remember what that was? All they had to do was obey. That's all they had to do. All they had to do was obey. Like God said, go in and take the land. So what should they have done? Go in and take in the land, right? But they talked themselves out of their destiny. So obedience is a key factor. And when Stan was talking on the thriving life versus the survival mode, right? Thriving versus surviving, like the key part there, the key aspect to living a fruitful life, a life that's full of God's favor and God's blessing, is obedience. Like that's all we have to do is obey. And I was wondering if Big John, can you come up here this morning? Yes, you, Big John. You, John. Oh, drop the H-N. Yes, Big John. Big John, because I was trying to think about who I could easily hide behind. And John is definitely somebody that little mini me can hide behind. Yeah, I just need you to stand in front of me. Like this is what it is to be hidden in Christ. Exactly. You just got to stand there and look pretty. Wouldn't it be great? We should work out like a ventriloquist act. Like, I'll pinch your shoulder blade, you open your mouth, and it'll be like your words, but my words. No, we won't. Okay. We'll have to practice this, exactly. How good are you at singing? That has nothing to do with this. Sorry, I'm just trying to... No, you're going to stand here. You're just going to stand here. Like, this is what it is to be hidden in Christ. Like, when God comes looking for me, who's he going to see?
No.
I like that, Brian. He's going to see his son. He's going to see Jesus when I'm hidden in Christ. Like when I'm hidden in Christ, when God comes looking for me, he's not going to find me anymore. He's going to find Jesus. And so I can be hidden in Christ, but there's a problem here. John walked to the right. Am I hidden in Christ anymore? No. What didn't I do? I didn't follow him. And so if I'm going to be this new creation, if I'm going to get rid of my old self, when he strafes right, I got to strafe right. Strafe left for me. Whoa! Now try to trick me. Oh, there we go. Exactly. Hey, give him a hand, please, folks. Woo! But that's what it means to be hidden in Christ. When God comes looking for you, the old you, he's not going to find it. He's not going to find it because now you're in step with the Son. You're in Big Brother Jesus' shoes now. You are walking in his footsteps. You're doing what he did. You're saying what he said. You're praying how he prayed. You're living how he lived. And you are hidden in Christ so that when God comes looking for you and your old nature on the day of wrath, he ain't going to find it. He's going to see his son and all of his radiance and his glory, and he's not going to find you if you stay in step with him. You got to kill off these false identities if you stay hidden in Christ, because when Christ is who your new life is, right? That's what Paul is saying here. When Christ, who is your life, appears, when Christ, and this is, Paul's hinting at revelations here. Like he's hinting at second coming here. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's what he's hinting at here, is when Christ, who is your life, then appears, then you are also going to appear. When God goes looking for your old nature, he ain't going to find it. All he's going to see is his son in all his glory. Therefore, put all this stuff to death. Get rid of it. Stop carrying it. It's not part of you anymore. It's your old nature. Whatever belonged to your earthly nature, be it sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, the wrath of God is coming because of those things. You don't want to be caught out in the open carrying those things, because refiner's fire is going to burn that chaff away. It's going to burn that stuff away. You don't want to be caught out in the open, exposed with that stuff. That's why you need to be hidden in Christ. You need to be in your new nature, because you used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived. But now you must, keyword, must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Get rid of it. Get rid of anger. Okay? Don't just stop at your actions, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. Don't just stop with these things that are like these internal weird evil desires, okay? But let's change how you act as well. Stop being angry. Stop being full of rage. Stop being full of malice. Stop slandering. Get rid of filthy language. Change the way you talk. Change the way you think. Change the way you act. Change the way you talk. Get rid of all that stuff. Don't lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with all of its bad things and practices and have put on this new self, which is being renewed. I like this, that last little tag there. It's being renewed. We talked a little bit last time about how it's so important for us to get rid of our sinful nature, because our sinful nature is continually being corrupted. Continually. The lusts of the flesh are there. They're present. They're available. There's opportunity for them to take over your life. So they're continually being corrupted. So you got to get rid of that corruptible nature and put on this new nature. Trade the corruptible, what can be corrupted, for the incorruptible, which can't be corrupted. Get rid of the old nature, put on the new nature, which is constantly being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Who's the creator there? Yeah, we've got God being the creator, or Jesus being the creator. And so when we walk in step with Jesus, when we live a life of obedience, we're going to experience the good things of God, the fruits of God. But if the fruits of your life are anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lust, greed, sexual immorality, chances are you're walking in the wrong nature then. You got to trade out the old. You got to get rid of it. You got to kill it. You got to stop carrying it. Don't keep it around as some sort of burden badge, like I think sometimes we carry our burdens like a badge, like we really take pride in who we once were. Don't kill it off. Get rid of it. Let there be no evidence of that former life in your present life. Get rid of it. Get rid of all of it. And James is going to wrap this up great here in chapter 1 of James. And if you want to turn to this passage in your Bible, I like this passage a lot. James is one of my favorite authors in the Bible. We maintain the fourth key to living in your true eternal identity is to maintain your identity by reflecting on God's promises. And I'm reading from James chapter 1. Verses 22 through 25. And James is confronting something early on in the church. A lot of scholars believe that the book of James was one of the first, earliest books of the Bible in the New Testament written. Some speculate that it was written around 42 AD. So roughly, if dates and things are correct, roughly 9 years after Jesus left the earth, they think the book of James was written. And it's interesting because he's writing this book and already there's a lot of stuff going on in the church that is contrary to the life that Jesus lived. And James is spearheading that. He's attacking it. He's coming against it. And he says, do not merely listen to the word. Don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves here, but do what it says. Don't just like Christianity, be Christianity. Don't just like truth, live truth. Don't just put promises on your refrigerator, but believe promises on your refrigerator. Like don't go around saying that you're all good and you're in the nature of Christ, but then now on Tuesday, your life is completely different and in shambles. It's like, don't deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be obedient. Stay in step. Jesus goes left, go left. Jesus goes right, go right. Okay? Jesus says jump, jump, right? Okay? Like that's what we need to do in our lives. We got to stay hidden in Christ, because anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, looks at it, and then immediately forgets what he looks like. Like sometimes we come here on Sundays and you hear all these things about who you are and who you could be, but then all of a sudden when we walk out the door, suddenly we forget who we are. We forget who we've been called to be. And we're carrying around two natures, and we don't know which one is supposed to answer the door or the phone anymore. Like, whose turn is it to answer the phone? Is it my old nature, or is it my new nature? Okay? Is it Christian me, or is it Tuesday me? Right? Like we got to stop living dual lives. We've got to start living a life of Jesus, or the life that Jesus called us to, the life that Jesus died to give you and I. Like, he paid the highest price. We've got to start operating in that, okay? If your dad bought you a Ferrari, Dave, would you drive the Ferrari? I like that answer. You bet. You bet, okay? So if Jesus gave you a new identity, wouldn't you like to walk in it? Like stop. Stop carrying around the carcass. Get rid of it. Okay? Don't be a person who looks in the mirror and after looking at that yourself, you just forget right away. Like, and he's talking about the word here. He's talking about scriptures. He's talking about truth that Jesus declared while he was on earth. And so James is saying, don't forget what Jesus told us. Don't forget the life that he showed us. Like, he was here for a purpose and a plan and a reason, and I don't think it's what we're doing right now. Like, don't forget what he showed us to do, right? Or what he showed us we could be. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law of obedience, that gives freedom. And a lot of times we forget that heaven's nature and earth's nature is completely different. So in heaven, when you're obedient, you live in freedom. And on earth, when you're in obedience, a lot of times it feels like slavery. Like, we live a life of obedience here on earth and we feel like it's slavery. But on the flip side, in heaven, heaven's nature is different. Kingdom culture is different than earth culture. And so when we walk in obedience in terms of the Spirit, we receive freedom that comes from that. Okay, it gives freedom. That perfect law gives freedom. And continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. If your life isn't full of God's blessings and favor, get in step with Jesus. Follow him. Where's he going today? What's he wanting you to say today? What's he wanting you to do today? Be in step, but you got to be in relationship if you're going to be in step. See, James is trying to tell us here that we need to stop forgetting who we are. We got to stop forgetting who we are. You know who you are, who you've been created to be, who you're called to be. So start acting like it. Stop forgetting. Like, Jesus just died 9 years ago. Why are you forgetting all that he already showed us and taught us? Like, we need to follow the example he has. And if James was speaking in today, he'd be telling us, don't be schizophrenic. Don't be going back and forth this or that. You know, listen to truth, but don't listen to it and begin to question it. Listen to promises, but don't doubt them. Okay, don't doubt the word of God that's been sown or planted in you, and don't go back and forth between your two natures, your sinful nature and your spiritual nature. It's time for you to hear truth, believe truth, live truth, embrace truth. That's what you got to do. And the last little tip I have is kind of on the back, but it goes along with this, because what we reflect on, James is talking about this analogy with a mirror, and he's saying, you look in this mirror and you forget what you are, who you are, okay? You don't like what you see in that reflection. Well, then change your reflection, because what you're going to reflect on is going to determine what you reflect out. If I reflect on God's truth and God's promises, I'm going to reflect out God's truth and God's promises. But if I reflect on all my worries, all my doubts, all my fears, all the things in life that drag me down, that's what I'm going to reflect out. And I'm going to come in here looking like this. Praise God. Praise God. Good morning. How are you? Well, actually, yeah. Like, change your reflection. What you reflect on is going to determine what you reflect out. And I've got some good verses here for you. Colossians 3:13. Don't forget that you're forgiven. Who is this true me? This is you. You're forgiven. You're known by God in Psalm 139:1. Great word that Mary had this morning about how he knit you together in the womb of your mother. Like he knows you. He formed you. I'm loved by God. Romans 8:38 through 9. I'm the light of God in dark places. 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'm blameless. Colossians 1:22. And how do I stay blameless? Well, it's because I'm hidden in Christ. And so when God comes looking for old Stephen, he doesn't find old Stephen. He finds big brother Jesus. He sees Jesus when he's looking for me. I'm blameless. I'm a son and a daughter of God through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:26. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am wonderfully made. Again, from Psalms 139:14. And this is the biggie right here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I am a reflection of Christ. It's time to stop operating in old. It's time to start living in new. It's time to let go of all those things that hold you back, that keep you wandering in the desert, on the doorstep of your destiny. It's time to let all that go, trust God, embrace the Holy Spirit, and step into your destiny. And that's where we want to go, folks.